Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Lee, here's what's dangerous, okay?
All right.
Charlie Kirk, before he was killed, described the rise of Zohran Mamdani as a distress signal from Gen Z. He said it was the second distress signal. The first, he said, I'm going to play the audio coming up, was that Gen Z 18 to 29s actually voted for Donald Trump. That never happens. They always vote Democrat, yeah. Particularly the men. It'd be a low majority, but it would be a majority.
Right.
And Donald Trump got the largest share of the youth vote for a Republican in our lifetime. Why? The economic stress. And that's what they hired him to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that has been the saddest to me, I bought my first home when I was 23 years old, renovated it, flipped it, and bought another one. On a journalist's salary, which I'll tell you, I made $19,000 a year at the time. And I really had to struggle to do it. I was eating cereal for 2 out of 3 meals a day. Okay, so it wasn't easy, but I did it. And then I took the money from that and was able to buy my, you know, real home before the age of 25, like a real home that wasn't for flipping, that was mine. It was a fixer-upper, but it was mine. And that is not possible to do anymore. We just hit a new low, okay? The share of home purchases by first-time buyers has plunged to 21%, the lowest on record. What was it before Joe Biden took office? First-time home buyers, typical month, 43% of the volume.
Wow.
Yeah, it's 21.
So it's cut in half,
mm-hmm.
More than half.
All-time low. I will never forget what it was like. My cousins and I did a very long road trip through Europe. I have a very big family, and so we ended up staying with family members there. Only one of my family members in Europe owned their own home. It was run down, had wallpaper from the 70s. They were so proud because they were the only people they knew who owned a home. It had been passed down to them. And one day they hoped to renovate it. And I was looking at it and going, I'm, you know, in my early 20s and I own a nicer home than this. And I was shocked. And I can remember sitting with the guy who's a distant cousin of mine and talking to him about it. He's like, oh, yeah, nobody owns a home here until their 40s. And I thought, what? How terrible is that? Mm-hmm. Wow, that is awful socialist stagnation. And one of the first things I noticed, too, Lee, when I went there, at the time when I went there, I was my first job out of college. I went to an employment agency, and I ended up placed working for Shellco, which was a big industrial construction company in Charlotte, very famous. So, and I just, you know, I worked in the trailer as the secretary. So I started to notice, you know, and be able to tell different kind of grading equipment from this. I could tell the stages of fixing a lot. I mean, I could just, you start noticing these things, right? I'm driving through Europe with my cousins on this amazing vacation. We're taking a car trip. And it dawns on me after about a week, I haven't seen a single construction site I haven't seen any grading. There's no grading equipment in this country. Then I started looking for it. I'm like, will I see a construction project, grading equipment, all of that? Because the part of Shellcore I work for mainly did site prep. Will I see it? I mean, it's very common thing to see here. You drive through Greenville, you're going to see construction equipment all the time, right? And I'm not just talking road work. I'm talking just construction equipment, right? You don't see it in Europe. And he said, nah, here, Tara, we don't even, like, if you're going to own a home, it's not till your 40s. Listen to this. Two days ago, from realtor.com, the share of first-time home buyers dropped to a record low of 21%. It was 43 when Joe Biden took office. While the typical age of first-time buyers climbed to an all-time high of 40 years. I bought my first home at 23, according to the National Association of Realtors. 40 years. We are now where they were in Europe when I just shuddered and was so glad I could go home. That's where we are. And the share, again, of first-time home buyers in the market has contracted by 50% since 2007. And homes were Biden-flated. From the beginning of the Biden administration to the end, the price of a typical home doubled.
And you're not even talking about the price of borrowing money.
No. And well, I mean, that's all. Yes. It's out of reach. It's bottom line. It's just out of reach. It is. And so you've got a very frustrated generation that voted for Donald Trump. Well, this whole article talks about how bad it is and all, but what is causing this? It's the printing of money and the spending by Congress. Mm-hmm.
And therein lies Trump's problem.
Yep.
He's going to get blamed for the economy because he's the one that went out there and campaigned, day one, I'm going to take care of this. And he oversold that. That's the one mistake that I think that Trump has made. He made that comment about fixing the war in Ukraine. That's still going on. I don't blame him for not being able to do it. I didn't believe that he'd be able to do it on day one or in any time after, you know, quickly after the inauguration to begin with. I mean, it's just an incredibly complicated situation. But he oversold what he'd be able to do. I saw him on Bret Baier's show last night, you know, talking about, hey, beef is down. The energy prices are down. It's like a 5-year low. He's right about that. And a lot of the things that he has done you can attribute to some of his policy changes. But the problem he's got is he oversold his ability to control the economy and get prices down, which he campaigned on. And then you've got these young voters who are looking for instant gratification, who are gullible enough to think that, you know, a change of president or a change of government can quickly change something that has taken years or decades to get us into. And there, I think that's why you are seeing some of these young voters. We may not be able to count on them in the 2026 general election.
Charlie Kirk warned that the danger of Mamdani is that they would become so desperate that they would latch on if what Trump was offering didn't work and work quickly, just like you're seeing, that they would spin towards socialism, which is only going to make it worse. It's not good. Brilliant article by Seton Motley in the, Red State, about this. This is incredible. The Congress has not passed a full budget, which would allow us to do cuts. You could do line-by-line cuts. You can't do that in a CR, which is what we keep passing. That's the problem.
Yes, it is.
The idiots in D.C. haven't passed a budget since 1996. The problem is this. 2009's one-time $831 billion stimulus has been CR'd into de facto permanence. You know we pass it every year.
Yeah.
People don't know that.
Yeah.
Why do we do that? Well, greed is one thing. But the other reason is, if we did it 1 year and then pulled it back the next, you'd have a massive contraction in the economy, Great Depression style. I mean, you'd lose points, plural, off the economy. And whatever party was in power would get absolutely just, you know, smacked because of it. So nobody wants to do it. So we just print it again every year, starting with 2009's one-time $831 stimulus. Listen to this. The same is now true of the $4.6 trillion D.C. spent on COVID response. Never unbudgeted. So CR'd over and over. So remember all those checks were going out? We're still printing that money.
Well, and here's the other thing. These Obamacare subsidies that Democrats are claiming that Republicans are cutting off. No. That was in the law when Democrats passed it. It had a sunset clause. So they knew that they'd be able to put this in, get it to a point where it would end, and then claim Republicans are cutting something when they're not, and then force Republicans into a situation to continue the subsidies. That's all that's happening. Democrats voted for this budget. Democrats voted for Obamacare subsidies, and they voted for the law that has them sunset now in the next calendar year. And now they're claiming, oh, wait a minute, Republicans are cutting this. No, you voted for this. You voted for this.
So you're listening to this. This is why we had 3% inflation last month, actually better than the month before because it was on track. It was 4%. So it's actually better, but that's still crappy. The U.S. Treasury has to hold bond auctions to sell all of this. They got to buy it back with printed money because there's nobody out there to buy it. Yeah. And we're insolvent. And somebody's got to make a decision. Look, when you look at the sort of almost verbally violent way that Elon Musk left the Trump administration, I actually got it because he understood, like Ray Dalio does. As he warns every other week on CNBC, if we aren't cutting at least $500 trillion a year, we aren't going to make it. That was the same number that Elon Musk mentioned. And he got incredibly frustrated when the Republicans in Congress were like, well, we're going to hold up, you know, Trump's nominees if he tries to make the cuts. So it's both sides in Congress that have screwed this up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why you can't afford a house if you're in your 30s when I used to be able to buy one in my 20s. And you know, it's happened very, very fast. It's happened over 5-6 years. That's the problem. Now here's the thing, Lee, there is a solution, but it's going to be a skin of the teeth thing in order. Cause Trump wants to cut this because remember he was pledging 12 rescission bills. He actually got one through for just $9 billion to cut USAID permanently. Right. There were 11 more behind that. He wants to do that half a trillion dollars in cuts. Right. But so much is in his way. He needs the votes. It's too tight. If two things happened, we could probably do it. It's going to be very hard. We have to get back in the seats in Congress that should rightly be ours. So how do we do it? Number one, the Supreme Court has signaled they will probably end Democrat race-based gerrymandering where we draw special districts for Black Democrats. That'd give us 20 more seats that should be ours, okay? And then there's another 6 to 8 seats that the Census Bureau stole through fraud. We got to get a new census through. We've got to do the census before the midterms. And then we've got to redraw the districts. Hail Mary pass. Then we would probably be able to have the Republican votes to keep the Democrats from unfairly and inaccurately winning Congress. And we'd finally be able to pass a budget where we could go through and cut line by line. It's the only hope we have, or we're going to be like Europe. We're already like Europe. Those numbers are incredible today, and they're only going to get worse. They're only going to get worse. And socialism, you think it's going to fix things? No. It's going to make them permanent.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Texter writes, Tara, yesterday, Charlie James said, we might as well get rid of the filibuster because Democrats will do it next time they're in power. I'll agree that with this, they will try. But last time, they failed. They failed because two Democrats, Sinema and Joe Manchin, said no. Why do they want to get rid of the filibusters? They could pass amnesty. I'm telling you, Donald Trump would not be president right now if amnesty had passed. There will never be another Republican president if amnesty passes. Folks, we just watched in New Jersey, Democrats win the Hispanic vote by 30 points. What does that mean? We can't win the Hispanic vote if Donald Trump is not on the ticket. They will vote us into socialism. Why? Because that's what they know. That is who the countries that a lot of these folks come from are socialist. Or they're just authoritarian, or they don't have any Western set of values or freedoms. They don't cherish capitalism. That's why they had to flee their countries. Now they want to try it again here. It's what they know. It's what they'll vote for. It's why the Democrats brought them here. The thing that saved us, because remember, we had a majority House, majority Senate, and Joe Biden was president. We didn't get amnesty because Manchin and Sinema. And you know how hard they tried? I just see the hand of God in this. Do you know how? Because they didn't want, if you have a one-party system like China, it's over. It's always over. And that's what Democrats are trying to get to. And folks, you've seen how these Democrats are. Can you imagine them with total power and Republicans never able to win the presidency again? What would happen? They'd put the leadership of the entire Republican Party in prison via show trials. They actually had a name for it, it turns out. Arctic Frost. We're uncovering bits and pieces of it every day. But Joe Manchin stood in the face. Folks, I want you to hear this. This is Senator Joe Manchin. He's not in the Senate anymore. Retired now, right? It's from West Virginia. Moderate Democrat. Probably the last moderate Democrat besides Sinema. She's gone too now, unfortunately. This is how far the Democrats went to try to force him to remove the filibuster so they could get to amnesty. Death threats. Again, he's a Democrat. You'll listen to him here on this podcast. And he's saying the death threats deliberately came from his own party via activists they hired. So understand, when Chuck Schumer is terrified, he's right to be. They will full stop kill you as fast as they will us in their own party. If they ever got total power, there is no stopping them. Listen to Joe Manchin describe, and he was, I remember this. There's video of it online. They were stalking him at his home, his vacation home, following him into the bathroom and making death threats. And in this, you'll hear the interview was from a podcast a couple weeks ago. Say, yeah, but you know, come on. This day, those death threats, all that wouldn't come from the Democrat Party. And he says, oh, yes, it was. They just sent the activist to deliver it. And he didn't knuckle, folks.
Then sure enough, 1 month, they come back with BBB.
Yeah.
Build Back Better. Now they're talking $6 trillion. That bill was $10 trillion if it was a penny with all the revamping. I couldn't get there, guys. And I told him, I said, Mr. President, I'm sorry. Man, I can't get there. And they tried for 8 months, beat up me. I mean, I had to have security.
Well, what is that like? Like, what does the pressure campaign look like? It's because it's not just the president, exactly as you write in the book. It's people showing up at the house. It's people with little kayaks with protest signs around your boat. It's pretty intense.
It's pretty intense, Shamat. But I can tell you one thing. When every day, the Capitol Police call you and says your death threats are serious enough right now, so we have to have, you know, we'll meet you down at where you live and we'll bring you to work and we'll take you back home. You know things are pretty serious. I never wanted to know the extent, but I knew they were serious. And then one time they said, this is really getting serious now because now we got things. They know where your children go to school. They know where your grandchildren are, where your kids live. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is crazy. And then I had a bunch of boaters come down, canoers. I got attacked by canoes. And I just said, guys, listen, we just disagree. It was all climate people. And I said, listen, I want a clean climate. I just know we need energy to run our country, and there's got to be a balance. And so I said, come up to my office. They said, what? I said, come to my office tomorrow. We can sit and talk. You don't have to be out here in the water. But they thought that was the show they put on. And they came the next day. We talked. We agreed to disagree on some things, and we agreed on some things.
But Joe, I just want to understand though, like, do you think that these are just random acts, or do you think that it's an organized pressure campaign?
Oh,
like,
no,
do you
think that was organized. They were paid, Shamath, because a lot of my friends who live on the down at the river, on the Potomac River with me, on the boat, they play like, how can I get a job with you? How can I do this if I want to protest? They says, oh, I'll just sign up and get $15 an hour. I couldn't believe it.
He's a Democrat. And the whole conversation goes on for 6 minutes, but it starts off with the filibuster and the pressure from the Democrats on him to get rid of the filibuster to allow like that version of the big, the BBB under Joe Biden, again, $10 trillion, all of that stuff through. They tried to knock the filibuster down to get it through. Thank God they did not. He stood in the way and he's talking about death threats. Understand, folks, this. And Schumer knows this better than anybody. It's why he's afraid. Hakeem Jeffries is afraid. This isn't just Schumer going to lose a primary, okay? This is, they will low-key kill you. Your own party. You think they're going to stop at us? They won't. And this is him going, I mean, the podcast is trying to come back. Well, you know, the Democrat Party wasn't behind these death threats. I mean, that's not, no. Yes, and Manchin doubles down. Yeah, those are their activists. That's who sent the kayakers. That's who sent the protesters. That's who sent the people stalking me, sent the people stalking my kids, sent the people stalking my grandkids. That's how far the Democrats will go. But they didn't get it. But it gives you an idea of what they might do if they ever get power. Total power like they want. I say we don't make it easy for them. There is no guarantee they will pass that filibuster. They tried last time when they had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and they failed. We don't do it for them. Texter writes, hey, Tiro, we're watching the transition of the Democrats into their true nature. It's like the Terminator movie after the mask of flesh was removed. That was a good movie, by the way. Wow, that is a really great comparison. Oh, boy. Texter writes, hey, Tiro, I purchased my first home at 26. I never thought that purchasing a home in my late 30s would be harder than purchasing my first in my 20s. So says Marcus. Good morning, Marcus. Glad you're still listening. Zoran Mankami says he's not a commie, but he is. There's three critical aspects of communism. You can see them in the definition. If you click on Google and you say, you know, Google search, what is communism? Government controls means of production. The abolition of private property. Mamdani has advocated for both things. Here's Zoran Mamdani explaining how we need to just go ahead and abolish private property. As long as there are homeless people, private property has to go.
My platform is that every single person should have housing. And I think faced with these two options, the system has hundreds of thousands of people unhoused, right? For what? And if there was any system that could guarantee each person housing, whether you call it the abolition of private property or you call it, you know, just a statewide housing guarantee, it is preferable to what is going on right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that people try and play like gotcha games about these kinds of things. And it's like, look, I care more about whether somebody has a home.
So he's open about this. The problem is Americans in general don't know what this means. This is why for years I've been telling you, read the book, We the Living by Ayn Rand. By the way, you used to have to read Ayn Rand in high school for decades before the left got rid of it. And there's a good reason for why. See, right now, and in that speech yesterday, Zoran Mamdani was talking about how he's there to help, you know, he's going to help the downtrodden, those who, you know, get sore knuckles from doing the hard work and all of that. Those are the exact promises they always make. Always. But when the revolution goes down and the party is in power, how does it work out? Read We the Living by Ayn Rand to find out. It was so eye-opening for me. I mean, I knew that capitalism was outlawed in Marxist countries, but I didn't understand it. And folks, the problem is that we've never really seen it because the places that it's gone down in the most recent history aren't English-speaking. They're China and Russia. Those are also closed societies. That's what communist societies always become. They have to keep the people in the real world out and keep people from fleeing. So what does private property actually mean? Well, they control all of it. In the book, We the Living, Ayn Rand's dad, in real life, this is a real story, he was a pharmacist, he was an upper middle class guy. They had a nice house. What happens if you have a nice house? No, they give it to the poor, right? No, screw them. No, the highest ranking party members move into your house and they kick you out. What happens to you? Well, if you have a kind of crummy house that the party leaders don't want, guess what? How many bedrooms you got? Yeah, you and your entire family can move into one of them and then we'll move some more people into the other two. You could share the bathroom. What if you're scared of the people they move into your home? They're kind of sketch. Not the problem of the party. That's how that works. There's actually a guy by the name of Frank. His daughter Sophia may be listening right now. She does from time to time. He was a hardcore Marxist when he was young. I love the story. He owns did own a vineyard. I think he's retired now, up in Tryon. He'll tell the story of when he was in college age anyway. He left the country and went down to South America to fight for the Marxist. I forget which revolution it was. But he thought, you know, hey, they had won and he wanted to help them. So he, you know, went down there, arms and everything, joined up with them. They let him. And he was talking about the banana plantations. They'd have these just elaborate mansions down there, very beautiful. Of course, the workers work for pennies and the people who own them, you know, are rich, right? So he thought, you know, finally the workers are going to get their share, right? It's going to be great. He gets down there. Same thing as in the Soviet Union. The party has taken the mansions. They've moved the party leaders in. Well, what happened to the poor and downtrodden? Their plot in life hadn't changed one iota. They were still slaving away, except now they were poor. And he said, you know, he's talking about it. I would even say to them, like, wait a minute. This is not how it's supposed to be. Wait. Communism is an organized theft system. The poor never get it. They only get poorer. And the second they figure it out and don't want it anymore, the crackdown begins. That's why free speech has to go away. So he's advocating that Americans don't understand what ending private property means. It means that property and where you live is rewarded by your rank in the party. That's how that works. And Frank, who owns the vineyard up in Tryon, saw that, said, to heck with this, came back to America, went to college, and voted for Ronald Reagan. I love that story when he tells it. I think I got it pretty close to the way he first told it to me. I was just spellbound by it. Thing number two, hates capitalism.
So when people say democratic socialist, do you like capitalism?
No, I have many critiques of capitalism. What I'm focused on is making the city affordable for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No capitalism. Check. All right. Seize means of production. So all manufacturing facilities stolen from their owners and taken over by who? Always the same people. High-ranking members of the party who live like kings.
Whether it's BDS, right, or whether it is the end goal of seizing the means of production, is that it is critical that in the way that we organize, in the way that we set up our work and our priorities, that we do not leave any one issue for the other, that we do not meet a moment and only look at what people are ready for, but that we are doing both of these things in tandem. Because it is critical for us to both meet people where they're at and to also organize for what is correct and for what is right.
So there you have it. He says very clearly, if he can get away with it, he will seize means of production. Why does the party need to seize means of production? They must control everything that is produced. It is the source of their power. This is why they always do a third thing, food. Food and goods sink everything from toothpaste to TVs to clothes and jackets and things for, you know, to keep you warm. The basics of life. They always seize those. What do they do it in? Grocery stores. Government-run grocery stores. That is always plank number three, and it is the real source of their power, the control of food. If you are ranked as a valuable human being to the party, then you get to be in the front of the line. If you are not ranked as a valuable human being to the party, you go to the end, and you only get to shop there when the stuff runs out. That's why they always seize three things: private property, means of production, and food. You just heard him. All three of them. That's not socialism. That's classic communism that he's proposing. And folks, if you read We the Living, it's incredible. If you run afoul of the party, they decide you're on their bad list. You get a low ranking food card. In other words, you're in the back of the line. By the time you get to the store, there's nothing left. You walk around with holes in your shoes and holes in your clothes as they fall off your body. You go hungry. And what are you forced to do? You're forced to trade for food, which puts you illegally operating in the black market. And that's what they send you to the gulag for. That's how it works. People spend most of their time in those societies trying to brown nose their way into the good graces of the party. They have time for almost nothing else, not free time, not free activities, nothing. They have to volunteer for the party to get a good food card, get a good food card to get to the front of the line so that they don't starve and end up in the black market. That's the game. Those are the three aspects of it. It's classic. He ran on all three. But Americans have never seen it. Because it happens behind walls, behind closed doors. And in societies, namely China and Russia, that speak another language. But you know, maybe we'll soon get a look at it here. Texter writes on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, the communist movement is like an invasive species that once released into a new ecosystem spreads unchecked because the native species has no defense. Another texter writes, Tara, I don't think we'll see it until Democrats get back into power. I think he'll let the world see who he really, really is. Oh, yeah. Zohran Mamdani. By the way, Van Jones, CNN, saying he was shocked by the victory speech, how it seemed like a different person. Yeah. He doesn't have to hide who he is anymore. Texter writes, hey, Tara, this is exactly, you know, what I was talking in the last segment. This is exactly what happens in Cuba right now. The government has no food to give the people. They're all starving. There's no electricity. They spend their day looking for food for their family, and that's how the government wants them. That way, they cannot think about throwing out the government. The few that have raised their voice against the government go to jail. They sell everything in dollars, and the people make pesos, $5 a month at the most, or the equivalent in the things at the store are not affordable at all. People here don't know how good they have it, but they will start to realize it now in New York. Folks, did you see this? New York Post reporting within hours of Mamdani's victory, people began pulling their kids out of private school in New York, preparing to move, relocate to homes in the surrounding surrounding states, including vacation homes. See, right now, you can flee. Amnesty happens and we create demographics. They're already here. They just can't vote. We create demographics like what is in New York. 20% can't speak English. 50% are foreign born. You're going to have a Mamdani on every city council. You're going to have a Mamdani ruling every blue area, and you will truly not recognize America.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.